Hello, and welcome to Life Care Services Health Service Division podcast series. I'm Deb Goss, Director of Clinical Consulting, and today's topic involves discharge planning, a continuation of a previous podcast highlighting transfer and discharges. Discharge planning is a process with a focus on the resident's goals. In order for a discharge to be successful, the resident must be an active partner. Let's face it, the resident doesn't necessarily want a readmission either, so we must elicit some information from the resident as to what they need post-discharge. And while we're at it, discharge planning is not a one-and-done type of thing. It is a process. So here's how CMS defines discharge planning. Discharge planning is a process that begins on admission and involves identifying each resident's discharge goals and needs, developing and implementing interventions to address them, and continuously evaluating them throughout the resident's stay to ensure a successful discharge. Therefore, the health center's discharge planning process must contain 8 elements. I'm just going to list these 8 elements off and try and give a little bit of an example. Number 1, the identification of discharge needs and incorporate them in the discharge plan. What do they need when they go home? Think of terms of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, for example. Start with food, shelter, medical equipment, activities of daily living, ADL assistance. Identify what they need when they go home and be sure to incorporate them in a discharge plan. Number 2, the discharge process must include regular resident reevaluation so changes can be identified and modifications can be made to the discharge plan. What the resident may have originally thought they needed at home may change as they live and recover or improve with you. So it's important that we ask. Sometimes they believe when they go home, they won't need assistance with ADLs. But as they live with us, they come to the realization that perhaps they may need assistance, or perhaps the individual they thought who was going to be there to help them no longer can be there. Number 3. An interdisciplinary team is necessary for the development of the discharge plan. That's kind of a no-brainer. We all believe in the interdisciplinary team and involve that IDT team when making a care plan. We also need to involve them in development of the discharge plan. Number 4, the caregiver and/or support person's availability. Their capacity, the capability need to be considered in the discharge plan. Oftentimes we've heard a story of a loved one will be there to help. However, we come to find out that that individual may not be able to help either because of availability or even capability. Number 5, resident involvement, as well as the resident's representative in the discharge plan. Perhaps this one should be number 1 if you ask me, but that's pretty obvious, right? Number 6, resident's goals of care and treatment preferences are addressed. While the discharge plan may look good on paper, if a resident isn't going to use it when they go home, it may not result in a successful discharge. So start with open-ended questions and determine what the resident is willing to do. What is their preferences? What is their goal? Number 7, community information documentation. Whether the resident is interested in community assistance or not, you must document the offer was made. This example is basically the referrals to local agencies. So if you offer up Meals on Wheels, document you offered, the resident declined, or perhaps they thought perhaps it might be a good idea. Make those calls. An 8 is timely documentation of the resident's needs and evaluation of the resident's discharge needs and discharge plan. This is really critical. Please don't wait until the last day of discharge to try and figure out what the resident's needs are and what that plan should look like. When you have surveyors in your building trying to see whether or not you meet the criteria for discharge planning, they are looking for a process, and we need to be able to demonstrate that a process was used. Discharge planning is not complete without the identification of the discharge destination. The health center must evaluate the destination to confirm the location meets the resident's health and safety needs, that the destination is not just their preference, that's where they want to go. Should a resident desire a location that doesn't quite meet their post-discharge needs, or let's say it might not appear safe, we have to discuss our concerns, just like we discuss our concerns when a resident refuses care or refuses treatment. Discuss and document the implications. What are the risks of being discharged to a location that is not prepared to meet the resident's needs? Try to determine why the resident desires that specific location. Discuss and document other options. Perhaps there's a similar, which is more suitable, option that's available. Always document that despite being offered other options, the resident refused those other more appropriate locations or settings and chose this slightly ill-suited location, if you will. And lastly, determine if a referral to Adult Protective Services or another state entity charged with investigating abuse and neglect is necessary. And if that's true, make sure the referral is made to that Adult Protective Services at the time of discharge. When a resident's choice is not one we might choose or desire, be sure to engage a non-judgmental tone and use open-ended questions, because only when we seek to understand can we affect change, can we understand better and help. Discharge planning occurs across all types of settings and is essential to improved communication of residents' care and needs and safe care transitions. Eric Coleman, a physician, doctor at the University of Colorado in Denver, is a national leader in patient and family-centered care transitions, and he identified 4 pillars for successful care transitions. The first pillar is medication self-management. Evaluate the resident's ability to self-manage medications. While we may complete a self-management assessment for residents during their stay in the health center, let's not let a resident leave our health center without that assessment. Are they safe to administer their own medications? And if not, what do they need to ensure safe medication administrations? We also need to be sure and complete a medication reconciliation prior to discharge as well. Oftentimes, the medications in the medicine chest or at home aren't the same, and sometimes residents go back and start taking some of those medications. So have that medication self-management part of that safe transition, that discharge planning. A second pillar, according to Dr. Coleman, is follow-up. Be sure the resident is aware of follow-up appointments. Sometimes it is good to have those follow-up appointments made before their discharge. Do we trust them? Will they make them after discharge? I can assure you sometimes they are excited to return home, and there's also some anxiety to return home, and that the paper product for follow-up might not be utilized right away. They might not make those appointments. See if we need to make those or can help them in those follow-up appointments. The third pillar, according to Dr. Coleman, is the knowledge of red flags. You know, a red flag is that indication that a medical condition may be worsening and how the resident should respond to that worsening medical condition. So let's use the example of CHF. So we know that if you have CHF and have a weight gain of, say, I don't know, 5 or 10 pounds, they need to do this or that. Or even if it's COPD and they've developed a productive cough, who should they call and what should they do? Diabetes is another chronic disease sometimes. Make sure they know when they're to monitor their blood glucose, how often, and what do they do if it's below a certain level or above another level. The fourth pillar, according to Dr. Coleman, might not be useful today in our discharge planning, but I think it's coming. It is the ability to access and use the patient-centered medical record. So while there are numerous discharge planning tools and resources available, check with your association for a tool or an example of discharge planning. The Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, Advancing Excellence in Health Center, is one resource that's available. Their discharge planning tool is called IDEAL, which stands for I, include, D, discuss, E, educate, A, assess, and L, listen. The IDEAL discharge planning overview, process, and checklist can be found at ahrq.gov. And that concludes my topic today for discharge planning. I thank you so much for joining me, and I look forward to joining you on another podcast.
Legal disclaimer. Life Care Services, LLC is not engaged in rendering legal advice. Therefore, any information provided in this podcast, although intended to be correct, is also not intended to replace or supersede the advice of your legal counsel. Also, thank you to Ben Sounds for the music provided in this podcast.